It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last week, the House of Representatives approved a plan to file a federal lawsuit against President Obama, accusing him of exceeding the bounds of his constitutional authority. Pitt Law Professor David Harris joins us to address what this means from a legal and constitutional perspective. David, as always, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh. How are you?
I'm well. It's good to be back with you.
If you'd like to weigh in on the conversation or have a question or comment for David Harris, 412-246-2002, the number to call. Email ESSPGH at WESA.FM, on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. So an historical precedent being set here, David?
Yeah, this is the first time that a lawsuit will be filed. It has not been filed yet by a chamber of Congress. There have been individual members of Congress that have sued in the past. In fact, fairly recently, Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin sued. And there have even been panels of members of Congress suing or acting in court against or for laws. But this is the first time a House, the House or the Senate, has actively moved to sue the president. There's been nothing like that before.
Can they actually sue the president?
Well, you know, the first point is that everybody can actually sue any time. The question is, does the lawsuit work? Does it last? And I think there's a grave impediment to them going forward here.
I guess what I'm asking here is, you know, if a judge, I'm assuming this would first come before a judge at some level of the judicial system.
Yep.
So would he or she look at this and say that you can't do this? I mean, what are the chances that someone's going to look at this and say this is legitimate?
I'd say the chances of that are low. The major impediment to this suit going forward is what we call standing to sue in federal court, which is where this suit will be. The Constitution requires what they call a case or controversy. What that provision has been interpreted to mean over the many, many years and decades is that the person suing actually has to have a personal stake in the outcome, in the sense that they will be harmed. They will be personally affected. So, for instance, maybe I disagree with how the federal government is using tax money to support Obamacare, or you pick it. I can't go into court as a taxpayer and say, stop this, because I am not personally affected in the sense of having a personal interest that is personal to me any more than any other taxpayer. This is exactly what's likely to happen to the House of Representatives. The House itself is not injured by this action, is not personally affected by the action of the president that they're complaining about. And so a judge is overwhelmingly likely to throw it out as lacking that essential ingredient of standing to sue.
Would you classify this as a nuisance lawsuit?
I don't think it's a nuisance lawsuit in the sense that they want to harass the president. I think they're trying to make a point. There are other mechanisms
for doing this. And the point is, and which comes to the question of what are they suing for?
Yes.
Their point is he exceeded his constitutional authority. But then what is the aim of this? Normally a lawsuit is somebody seeking damages.
Right.
What would they get from the president in this case?
Well, you can seek damages. You can also ask a federal court for an injunction or ask a federal court to order somebody to do something. What they're seeking here, and this is really ironic if you think about it, they want the president to enforce the provision of the Affordable Care Act that says that employers have to start paying for their employees or there's a penalty when they're a certain size company. Now, I seem to recall that the people who want to sue the president have voted something like 50 times to repeal the entire law, but they say they want the president to have to enforce that particular provision of the law, which the president has, by executive order, put off for first 1 year and now another year.
Right. And so then why are they saying that they want it to happen now, especially when they're against the affordable – many of the people involved in this lawsuit are against the Affordable Care Act anyway.
Well, it does make it a twist of irony beyond imagination. They are doing this not to actually get – the law enforced. That's the last thing they would want. But for making the point that the president has exceeded his power and effectively taken an issue away from them. That's my reading of it. They would very much like to run for election in the fall or even in 2016 with the idea that this has been enforced on people and on businesses, and folks would presumably not like that. And what the president's executive order does is it takes that issue away from them. So they are attempting to make a point by forcing it into a lawsuit instead of just the political process.
We're talking with Pitt Law Professor David Harris about the move by the House of Representatives approving a plan to file a federal lawsuit against President Obama, accusing him of exceeding the bounds of his constitutional authority. It certainly leads us into some pretty high policy weeds here, and if you are confused at all about any of this, or would like some clarification, or just want to weigh in on this ironic situation, 412-246-2002, the number to call, 412-246-2002. Email is ESSPGH@WESA.FM, and on Twitter at ESSPGH, hashtag EP Live. Assuming that the House can get by the legal barriers, do they have a case here?
I don't think so, because this is a process. What the president enforces, what the Congress passes, that is of its very nature part of the legislative process and the president's execution of the laws. We have many laws in this country, state, federal, local. We know that our officials don't always execute all laws all the time. For instance, if the police see you speeding and they stop you, they don't always have to give you a ticket. There is discretion involved in executing the laws. And thank God for that, some of us are saying.
Mm-hmm.
In the case of the president, he is not repealing the law. He doesn't have the power to do that. He is simply not enforcing it yet. And presidents have done this kind of thing using executive orders for a very long time. So if for this lawsuit to succeed, you'd have to also have in mind that presidents going back to Calvin Coolidge have used these sorts of orders to cut and paste, if you will, to work the details of governing after Congress has passed laws. So this is part of how things have been done in this country for 70 or more years. And to say now that a court should get involved and adjudicate and referee between the political branches, I think is a mistake. And I don't see a court actually going for it.
Well, and a lot of people are thinking this week is Friday marks the 40th anniversary of President Nixon resigning.
Yes,
he resigned before he was, and correct me if I'm wrong, but he resigned before he was impeached.
That's
the
right.
House voted to impeach.
Yes,
but it didn't go through the full Congress, and knowing that it probably was coming, he resigned to get out of the way of that. And there's a political cartoon recently by Bob Rogers in the Post-Gazette in which he talks about Nixon, you know, being threatened by impeachment for Watergate. And then in the middle panel is Bill Clinton, who was in fact impeached for his behavior. And then in the final panel, he's making his political commentary by saying that President Obama impeached for being president.
Yeah, well, there's a point being made there, and I understand it. And the president keeps saying this, I'm just doing my job. Maybe Congress would do its job. We wouldn't have to go this way. I don't think you even have to get to that point to see that this is not a good path for us to be on. I don't think we want courts to be the place where we adjudicate these kinds of differences that are to be worked out between the political branches.
We have a couple of callers on the line. Let's start with Robert in Morningside. Robert, welcome. You're on with David Harris, Pitt Law Professor.
Good afternoon, David. Paul.
Yes.
David, let me ask you, who's going to represent the president in a case like this? Does he have to get his own attorney, or is it the Solicitor General or somebody from the Justice Department? And how long can this go on? I mean, he's only has, like, maybe, say, another year and a half or so in office. Can they take it beyond that as a private citizen?
2.5 years, actually.
I'm sorry.
Excellent questions, both. Let's take the last one first. How long can it go on? I mean, it can go on as long as courts accept this as a legitimate claim, and I actually don't think they'll accept it for that long. And, of course, if a court throws it out, the House of Representatives can appeal it. What I think realistically will happen is that it will go on to a point that is either equal to or past the date of the next election, and then it will be forgotten or laid aside somehow. On the question of who is going to represent President Obama? Excellent question. I don't think it'd be the White House counsel, but that is one possibility. He could also be represented by a counsel from the Department of Justice.
Who did Clinton use?
Clinton had personal lawyers. He had personal criminal lawyers as well. And he had a whole staff that was just set up to handle the impeachment process. And he, I believe he hired them either himself or through the White House.
Who do you think Nixon would have used? B.B. Rebozo? Or?
You know, it's a good question, Paul. The charges against Nixon, when people say X is worse than Watergate, I want to remind them that Watergate was about the president using the presidency and the White House in a criminal conspiracy.
Let's go to Becky, who's in a car. Becky, be safe.
Yes. My question is, how much is this going to cost?
That's an excellent question, Becky. I don't think anybody knows, but this kind of an undertaking, suing the president, getting lawyers, getting the effort underway, it will surely cost in the millions of dollars. There is no question about that.
And we're picking up the bill for that?
Oh, yes.
We the people, the taxpayers?
Yes, we are. There's no question. It is just as if we are paying for the services or the workings of a congressional committee.
David, I guess I rely on your personal judgment on this, but is this a good way to go, to have a legal tool short of impeachment?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, there is a mechanism in the Constitution for a situation where the Congress feels that the president has exceeded his powers and committed high crimes and misdemeanors. And that's in the impeachment process. And the Congress has shown that it knows how to do that in the modern era. To have a federal judge anywhere appointed by anyone as the referee, as it were, between political branches, the executive and the legislative, elected people, to have the unelected judges there calling the shots, I just don't think that's a good idea. I think we have enough gridlock as it is without our political issues ending up in court before they can be resolved.
And we have less than a minute left, but not to be flippant, but could the taxpayers sue?
Sue the House of Representatives, you mean, for the cost?
Right.
No, I don't think so. You know, when you have a beef with the political branches, be it the president, the House, the Senate, there is a mechanism for that. It's the vote. You throw the bums out.
David Harris, Pitt Law Professor, joining us, talking about the move by the House of Representatives approving a plan to file a federal lawsuit against President Obama, accusing him of exceeding the bounds of his constitutional authority. David Harris, as always, great thanks.
My pleasure, Paul.
And thank you for listening to Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.FM or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.